1 Corinthians chapter 11, before we partake in the Lord's table, I want to remind us of a few things tonight through the scriptures and help our hearts and our minds to be in focus this evening, as this is a very special occasion. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's not something to neglect. It is something the Lord Jesus told us to do. And as often as we do it in remembrance of what he has done for us. And there is coming a day when we will not have to partake in this table, in the communion, because one day we will be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will be in heaven with the groom, with Jesus Christ, and we won't have to remember his sacrifice for anymore because we will be with him. But until we are with the Lord, he wants us to remind ourselves of what he's done for us. And it's really up to each individual church that is founded upon God's word, that's founded upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's really up to each congregation, each body of believers, how often we partake in the Lord's table. Jesus never gave a specific number of times in a year, but he simply said, as oft as you do it, as many times as you do it, you're doing it in remembrance of him. I know there are churches that do it once a month. There are some churches that do it every quarter, every 3 months. I usually try to do it around special times, Thanksgiving, definitely in April when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and some other times. And I've picked tonight just because we have some special meetings next weekend that I want us to really have our hearts prepared for, because I really want the Lord to speak to us through those meetings, through those messages next Saturday, next Sunday, just as he does every Sunday when the Word of God is open. But again, it's a time for us to reflect on what God has personally done for us. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, looking at verses 23 through 34, the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." And let's have a word of prayer. Again, Father, we ask that you would bless this time, Father. Bless, obviously, the scriptures. Bless your word. Lord, I ask that you would guide our hearts and our thoughts. I pray, Lord, that you would draw us unto you this evening, that we would draw nigh unto the Lord. I pray, Father, again, that you would direct everything that is said and done. Direct just even the distribution of the cup, the distribution of the bread here in a few moments. But, Lord, as we look at the scriptures and we're reminded of just the importance of this time, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that we would hear that soft, still voice, your voice that speaks to us. And I pray, Lord, we would be comforted in this hour because we are the children of God and we are born again, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, you would please bless. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he's writing to a church that was a carnal church. They had They were saved, but yet they were mixing their old lifestyle with their new lifestyle in Christ. And Paul sent this letter to help correct them in what they were doing, because they were kind of making a mockery of the Lord's table, of communion. They were basically having it, they were using it like a party and keeping some people from being a part of it, and just really not having a serious, humble attitude towards the Lord's table. And Paul found out about it, and Paul writes this letter to them to help them to understand the importance of the Lord's table. The fact is that a communion service like this, it's a time of worship. We sang some songs. We'll sing a song before we leave, but this really is a time of worship. We're worshiping the Lord. We're worshiping what he's done for us. And again, that's why I have chosen as the pastor to only do this a few times in the year, because I don't ever want it to become routine. There are churches, and I loosely use that word church because not every church is really a called out body of believers that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But I've been in some churches where they do the communion every Sunday, and I could just tell it really didn't mean anything to anybody. It was just part of the service. It's kind of like, you know, you honestly, when you are in this church long enough, you don't even need to pick up a bulletin to know that, you know what, we're going to sing a song, the pastor's going to pray, we're going to sing another song, the pastor's going to give announcements, we're going to have a piano special, we're going to sing another song. I mean, you end up learning the order of the service. But I don't want that to be that way when we partake in the Lord's table, that it's just routine, that it doesn't really mean anything. Because, again, this is a time of reflecting on what Christ has done for us. It is a time of worshiping him, because it is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time for each of us to examine ourselves, to make sure that our hearts are right with God, that there's nothing between us and the Lord. There's nothing in our life that is displeasing to the Lord, but that we reflect on what God's done. We examine ourselves. We meditate on the broken body of Jesus. We meditate on, we think about just the blood that was shed for us. And we don't just go through it like, okay, I'm going to have two men come up here, pray over it. We take it, we go home. Okay, great service. But the idea is for us to honestly, even though we are gathered together individually, think about what the scriptures are saying. Think about what Christ has done for you individually and what Christ is doing in your life. In Luke chapter 22, keep a finger in 1 Corinthians, but go back to Luke chapter 22. Because in Luke 22, Jesus institutes the Lord's table, or communion, or the Lord's Supper. You hear those three titles in churches you go to. Someone might say communion. I'll kind of go back and forth like I normally do. I'll say communion. I may say the Lord's table. But you think about it, in Luke chapter 22, Jesus was literally sitting at a table with his 12 disciples on the night that he's going to be betrayed. The night that he's going to be betrayed by one of the ones that are sitting at the table. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be just beaten beyond recognition. But all of this, he wants to institute what he wants his church, his believers, to do often as a remembrance of his sacrifice. In Luke 22, you look at verse 17, Luke chapter 22, in verse 17, says, and he took the cup, or no, actually back up if you would, back up to verse 13, and they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Jesus sent two disciples ahead to prepare that upper room for them. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So, I mean, on that night, Jesus institutes what we are partaking in tonight. There are two ordinances of the local church, one being baptism, second being that we are to partake in the Lord's table. Every person that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ should follow in believers' baptism because Jesus commanded it. When he gave the commandment to his disciples, he told them to go ye into all the world preaching the kingdom of God, preaching, but also baptizing. And all throughout Scripture, you see anybody that ever put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they were baptized. And it's very important that we follow the Lord in believers' baptism, but also partake in the Lord's table or partake in the communion service because it reminds us of what the Lord has done. It draws us back to the Lord. It helps us to have a right heart with the Lord and a right mindset with the Lord. So a few things I want us to remember tonight is the fact that the communion service is a time to remember. It's a time to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us. A time to take our minds off of ourselves. A time to take our minds off of ourselves, off of our pride, which is simply the fleshly desire for our lives to be easier when God is trying to make us holy because he's working in our life, but also to take our minds off of our problems. This is a moment where, you know what, we don't want to worry about what's going on in our life. We don't want to think about what I have to face this week. It's a moment of reflecting on what Jesus Christ has personally done for me. So when you think about the bread here in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 and 24, it says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Again, we understand the bread, as Jesus even says, the bread symbolizes his body. It symbolizes the sacrifice that would be given and the pain that Jesus would suffer. When Jesus stood up on that night, took the bread and broke it in front of him, it symbolized the sacrifice, but also the suffering that he would endure even before being hung on the cross and while hanging on the cross. In John chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We understand, according to the scriptures and according to our faith in the Lord, that Jesus is the bread. He's the giver of life. No one has life until they have Jesus Christ. Nobody has a life until they have Jesus Christ. Many will live a life on this earth without Christ, but they don't have life without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the giver of life. He's that bread that satisfies your every desire. And it reminds us that he was the sacrifice that was broken for us. Notice and listen to Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Again, Jesus Christ being the ultimate sacrifice, The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin, but Jesus Christ sacrificed one time. He laid down his life once, and his sacrifice paid for all sin, for all mankind, for every single person, especially for you and for me tonight as we reflect upon this. So that we understand, the bread symbolizes the body of Christ. In verse 25, the cup obviously symbolizes the blood of Christ. Verse 25, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." That cup was filled with juice. That cup was filled with juice, and it's very important. I know there are some churches that will use wine. But listen, wine is fermented. Wine can cause, you drink enough of it, and you're not going to be in control of yourself. Jesus was a man that was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. There was no corruption in the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ was pure. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. So it's important we understand that we use 100% pure grape juice, because I believe the blood of Jesus Christ is pure, and that Jesus Christ on that night was not drinking wine that would intoxicate you. But he gives this cup. It symbolized his blood, the blood that had life. The blood, remember, life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. And Jesus shed his blood for us. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission." There's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. So as we think about the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, we're thankful for the forgiveness that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, I'm very concerned in the days that we're living in that, and I'm going to say God's people, not necessarily people in this room, but just God's people around the world, have lost their love for Christ. They've lost the importance of the Lord's table. It doesn't mean anything to them. I can attest when I was a little boy sitting in church next to my mom, and I would see them, you know, pass the bread and pass the juice, and I didn't understand it. It didn't mean a whole lot to me. I was thinking, as a little boy, I'm hungry, and I sure would like some grape juice and crackers, you know. But then as I became born again and started learning and understanding it, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to even go through a service like this without crying, because I just think about how precious we are in the sight of God and how much he's done for us. And personally, I never want to take this for granted. I never want to just kind of go through it and, you know, and okay, this is what we do. That's why I think it's important for us to really think about what Scripture says and reflect upon our life being changed by Jesus Christ and the fact that our sins have been paid for. We're new creatures in Christ. We're robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because all of our righteousness, no matter how good somebody may be, no matter how much good they do for somebody, their righteousness is dirty, filthy rags. But yet the righteousness of Christ clothes us. It clothes us. Think about it. We're justified. We're justified exclusively by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way for someone to be justified other than by the blood of Jesus Christ. While the cup containing the fruit of the vine, as the Bible says, Jesus said, "I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until later on." The cup symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ. It's symbolic, but the blood of Jesus Christ, the literal blood of Christ, is not symbolic. Life is in the blood. The juice represents his blood, but the blood that was shed on Calvary was real blood. It was real blood. What we do here by taking this cup, it does not turn into the blood of Christ as some denominations want to teach. This is simply symbolic. The bread, or what we're going to take, what is matzah, and I'll explain that later, But what we partake in as the bread symbolizes the body of Christ. It doesn't turn into Christ in us. It symbolizes the body of Christ. But it should still be just that important to us that the only reason why I have this life that I have is because of Jesus Christ. The only reason why I have a place in heaven prepared for me is because of Jesus Christ. We are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ literally purchased you and me from the bondage of sin. Every single person without, no single person has a choice. Everybody is born a sinner, born into bondage to sin. Yet Jesus Christ has purchased us with the greatest thing he could do to buy us back with, and that is his own precious blood. He bought us back, almost like buying a slave from an auction, but when he bought us back with the precious blood, he immediately set us free. He bought us back. He redeemed us, and he set us free. He broke the chains of bondage, and he has given us a new life in him. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to the Lord. Our life belongs to the Lord. But communion is also a time for us to renew ourselves. It's a time to reflect on the Lord, but it's a time to renew ourselves. Look at verse 27 through 32 of 1 Corinthians 11. The Bible says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Again, God takes it very seriously, and so should we. So should we. Judas Iscariot did not take it very seriously, because when you go back to the book of Luke and you look at Luke where we were reading, I believe it's Luke 22. At Luke 22, Judas Iscariot is there partaking in this first communion that Jesus instituted. He's there. He partakes in it knowing that he's going to go and betray Christ. The Lord takes it very serious. That's why it's important, as it says, that we are to examine ourselves. Am I saved? Have I put my faith and trust in Christ? Because this is for born-again believers. It's not for religious people. It is for God's people. It is for born-again believers who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and we take it very seriously, and we should, because Jesus took it very seriously when he walked that road to Calvary. He knew what was going to happen. You go back and you read in the Gospels when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And as he prayed, the Bible says he was sweating great drops of blood. His sweat was not symbolic. It was literally blood already coming out of the pores of his forehead, because he was in that much agony praying, knowing what he was about to face, knowing what he was about to go through. And you remember, he even prays in the Garden of Gethsemane to the Heavenly Father and says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
I'm not sure I understand.
I don't have my phone, but I have my watch. Anyway, when you think about what is taking place in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's very solemn. It's very important. Again, it's a time of reflection for us. It's an opportunity for repentance. Because as we sit and we think about what we're about to partake in, and as we sit and think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed so that we could come back into fellowship with God, so that we could be, as the Bible says, the sons of God. We could be the children of God. We could be the children of light. We could be born again, saved, on our way to heaven. It's important that we take this time to even reflect, is there anything in my heart that's not right with God? And when you have a serious heart about this, the Holy Spirit of God will talk to you as he talks to me and show us something that may not be right in our life, something that we're holding on to that God's been trying to get us to let go of. Because again, nothing should stand between us and our Savior. This should be something really that draws our hearts unto the Lord, draws our minds to the Lord, and helps us to reflect on our own personal life. Notice in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Each of us examining ourselves, number one, are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you been baptized? Have you followed Jesus in believer's baptism? And then thirdly, is there something in my life that I'm holding on to that is a secret that I think God doesn't know, but God's been working on my heart? Maybe there's some lifestyle. Maybe there's something that we're watching, listening to. The Lord will speak to your heart. Because again, we talked about this morning that God wants to bless you. God wants you to be close to him. And again, when you think about just the sacrifice that Jesus paid, the sacrifice that he went through, being that living sacrifice, laying his life down for you, then there shouldn't be anything in our life that's more important to us than Jesus Christ. Again, no job should be more important. No movie should be more important. No type of music should be more important. Nothing that's in this world should be more important than Jesus Christ. And that's where we come and we reflect and we repent to the Lord. If the Lord shows us something that is not right in our life, again, you're saved. It's not, you know you're saved. All right, I've known people that just felt like in themselves, as I've talked to them, they just felt like they were unworthy to partake in the Lord's table. Not that they were living in sin, they were saved. They just felt unworthy, and it's like, man, that's a lie from the devil. None of us are worthy, but Jesus has commanded to do this until he come. Because by us partaking in this, again, and I'm going to keep repeating myself, it reminds us of what he's done for us. It reminds us of how much he loves us. It reminds us of the victory that we have in Christ. And it should bring joy to our hearts when we reflect on what Jesus has done. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Now, understanding that, yes, we're sinners, saved by grace, Lord, search my heart. There may be something that maybe I'm unaware of, something I have suppressed, something that I have forgotten about, Lord, that I need to confess, I need to get right, and the Lord will show you. But God demands that we be worthy to participate in this time of remembering, because it was very important that the Lord shed his blood on Calvary. It was very important the Lord sacrificed himself for us. And again, thinking about the fact you're saved, we need to be sanctified. We talked about that this morning in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts. But also it's an opportunity to remember our identity in Christ. It's an opportunity to remember, you know, who we are in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Communion is a time to renew ourselves to the Lord, to reflect, to think about, examine ourselves. Lord, is there something between me and you that I need to get right? And if the Lord shows it, immediately get it right with him. And lastly, look at verse 25. Verse 25 says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Again, as often as we do it, we talk this morning about the rapture, about the catching away of the church and the believers. This time is also a time to prepare ourselves for the Lord's return. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not just a normal church service. It's a very important, a very special time that God's people gather to be reminded of what the Lord has done for us as a body of believers, as a church, to remind us that, you know what, we do belong to the Lord. He bought us with that precious price, his own blood, that our life is not our own. We belong to the Lord, yet he does not treat us like slaves. He treats us like children. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. But again, it is an opportunity for us to reflect on what God's done for us. It's an opportunity to examine our own selves. And I'm going to give us a few minutes right now to do exactly what Scripture tells us to do. And that's verse 28, let a man examine himself. Again, just spending some time in prayer right before we even partake in the Lord's table and the communion. And just again, spending time. If you need to confess something to the Lord, confess something to the Lord. If you just need to thank the Lord for his goodness, whatever it is, let God speak to your heart. Let this truly be a special moment of the day. I believe church services were good this morning, but this is the greatest moment of the day when, again, we can, as a body of believers, do what Jesus commanded us to do and remember what he has done for us. So I'm going to give you about 3 minutes, and then I will close in a word of prayer, and we'll continue. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for just our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Father, for his sacrifice. And Father, no one took his life. He was willing to lay down his life. And when the moment came, he's the one that cried out, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. I thank you, Father, that he rose again 3 days later. And Father, that we're justified through Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that you have given us new life in Christ, an abundance of life. And I pray, Father, you would continue to bless our time, continue to bless each person here. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll go ahead and ask Nathan if you would come. Again, if you know you're saved, you've been baptized. Again, it's each person. No one's being judged. No one's going to say you can or can't. It's between you and the Lord. But again, if you know you're saved, you know you're baptized. You've been baptized. You follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Then you may partake in this because the Lord commands every child of God, every born again believer, to do this in remembrance of him. So I'm going to ask Nathan, if you would pray over the bread.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight, Lord, and we just ask for your blessing upon this time, Lord. I pray that you help us to never forget what you've done for us, Lord. And I pray that you just help us to always be that shining light to the lost, Lord, and to be that testimony for you because of what you've done for us, Lord. And to just always remember that it's nothing that we've done, nothing that we've accomplished, Lord. It's always through the blood of your Son. We just pray that you would bless this matzah, Lord, as we take it, and just always remember what you've done for us. And we pray. Amen.
I want to explain why we use matzah. Why I've chosen to always use matzah because I believe it's a beautiful picture of the sacrifice of Christ. Because if you have any of the edge is burnt. This matzah is a huge cracker-like substance. The edges are burnt, which signifies a burnt sacrifice. Because in the Old Testament, a burnt sacrifice was completely consumed upon the altar by the fire, and Jesus completely was consumed upon Calvary, upon the cross. He gave his complete obedience to the Father's will. He gave his entire life, but also it's got holes in it because Jesus' body was pierced as well, and then it's flat because there is no sin. There's no leaven in Christ. Jesus is this sinless Lamb of God that was slain for our sins. So as Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And then Brother Mike, I would ask you to come. If you would ask the Lord's blessing on the cup.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. We thank you for so many things, especially our salvation, Lord, and it would not be possible without the shedding of your blood. Lord, as we take this symbol, Lord, that represents your blood, I pray that you'd help us to do exactly what you commanded in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Tell you what, it is good to be saved. It is good to know that the Lord is your Savior, that you have a home in heaven, that he walks with you each and every day. And there is coming a day where we don't have to remember his death, burial, and resurrection anymore because we will be with him for eternity. And we're looking forward to that day. Again, we talked about the rapture today, but I just, as the days draw closer to that moment, our hearts should be excited about seeing our Lord and Savior. We should anticipate it, but never forget. What happens when somebody forgets what someone else has done for them? They no longer they're no longer grateful. There's probably been people in your life that you've helped, and they didn't show any gratitude. As God's people, we should always show gratitude for what the Lord's done for us, always thinking about the life he's given us, the blood that was shed, so that we never so that we never forget the great sacrifice that our Lord and Savior did specifically for you, and for me. Because that's the only thing that's going to help us to keep pressing on in a sin-cursed world, knowing that Jesus Christ got the victory for us. And we have victory because Jesus Christ has given us the victory. If you would go ahead and stand, Dylan's going to lead us in one more song. Let's take our hymnals and go to page 118 as we sing, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home."
I'm going to be doing all three verses of hymn number 118.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go home in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights sublime, where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it evermore. For my Lord says, come and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.
And let's pray. Father, would you thank you for the day that you've given us. We thank you, Father, again for the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ purchased for us, and for every single person around this globe that will put their faith and trust in his sacrifice and his blood shed. I pray, Father, that you would watch over your people tonight as they travel home. I pray that you would bless them through this next week, guiding them, giving them wisdom, discernment. Pray, Lord, you keep a hedge of protection around your people. Lord, help us to be bold as lions, but yet gentle as doves as we try to minister to people that you bring into our lives and that are currently in our lives that need the gift of salvation. They need Jesus Christ. They need to know that there is someone who cares deeply and loves them deeply and has given his life for them. I pray, Father, you'd help us to be the light that we are called to be in this dark world. Lord, help us to remain steadfast in our faith. A faith, Lord, that is founded upon a risen Savior, a Lord, again, who has bought us, redeemed us. I pray, Lord, that we would never forget that we've been given a new life because of Jesus Christ. And, Father, we do have someone we can look to that encourages us along the way, keeping our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, walking hand in hand with our Savior each and every day, listening to your voice as you speak to us, allowing ourselves, Lord, to be guided by the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but, Father, we are prone to wander. So, Lord, help us, Lord, to stay close by you. Draw us unto you. I pray, Father, that you would continue to bless your people today. I pray that you would continue to speak to them, helping them to grow in their faith. And, Lord, help us never to forget just the wonderful things you have done for us, Father, through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we have been given the power to become the sons of God, the children of God, because of you. Father, I ask that you would please bless, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.